Well, feel a need of your prayers this morning. Without the Lord, we don't have anything worth having. And depending upon the Lord to help us and to bless His Word and to meet our needs. And know that the Lord is able to supply. He desires to supply all of our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. The Lord's been talking to me about a little something I'd like to share with you. I shared a few of the thoughts on Wednesday, so if you were here, bear with me. I feel like the Lord has inspired me to continue on this same path. I like to think about a watered garden. And I want to begin this morning in the book of Genesis. Very near the beginning, Genesis, the second chapter. Begin in the eighth verse, this after the Lord had created man of the dust of the ground. It says, "The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The Lord God planted a garden." Well, I enjoy a garden. I don't do a whole lot of it myself. That's what my wife works on, but I enjoy eating of it when she eating of the fruit of her labors, primarily. Enjoy seeing the beauty of the flowers that God's created that are planted that you'll find growing in nature sometimes, but often requires some cultivation to get what you'd like. You ever been to a place and you've seen a just beautifully manicured and landscaped, maybe it's a yard or a garden or the grounds of some nice estate that's been very well maintained and cared for? You can tell that it's not like the field of the slothful, where there are weeds growing up and some of the plants are starting to wilt and maybe some of the trellises are kind of breaking down and falling, that it's been very well maintained, that it's flourishing, and it's beautiful to look at. You know, the Lord is the one that planted this garden. And the word paradise that we use to refer in scriptures to the home of departed spirits of the saints is the same word of a garden to convey the idea of a beautiful place that's been very intentionally prepared. That's a place that you can just relax and enjoy the scenery and all that's around you. The Lord God is the one that planted this garden. And it said he took of every kind of the plants and the trees of that which was beautiful to look upon. The Lord did that for the enjoyment of mankind. In the ideas of evolutionary thinking in our world, there's really no purpose for the beauty that is designed into this world, into creation. The minute detail that goes into a small flower. But it's like God's fingerprints on His creation. The beauty of it, if you ever stop and just take the time to observe and look at it. Beautiful to look upon, it said, and food to eat. All of that the Lord planted according to what man would need. And according to what man would be able to enjoy and glorify the Lord through. You know, the Lord didn't just plant a garden and step back and just leave it. He is not like some professing Christians would claim. He is not like a watchmaker who created this world and now steps back and has nothing to do with it and just lets it run its course. The Lord put man in the garden and he gave him a responsibility that I want you to care for it and I want you to tend it. But it says that he also put a river in the midst of the garden. And in that river, it said there was a parting of the ways or the heads. In other words, it branched out through the garden. And it says to water the garden that the Lord had made. You know what the Lord creates in its beauty? And everything that the Lord does is beautiful. In its own time, in its own way. What the Lord puts his hand to is beautiful. The way of God is right and it's beautiful. And whatever line it touches our life. You know what the Lord creates is beautiful. He knows how to maintain as beautiful. He knows how to sustain it. He knows how to keep it beautiful. It doesn't work if you just go and plant a beautiful garden and then you walk off and you just leave it. You go out in California or some of those arid regions and you plant a garden and you walk off and you leave it. It'll be beautiful for about the first day or two. But it's going to require something to keep it looking beautiful. The Lord knows how to sustain and maintain the beauty of salvation, the beauty of holiness. The Lord created marriage, and he looked on it, and he said it was good. The Lord knows how to maintain the beauty of our marriages. The Lord knows how to maintain that so it doesn't have to become something that starts out beautiful and blossoming, and then it just starts kind of shriveling up and withering away. He knows how to maintain what he begins. I believe Paul said in one place that he had this confidence that he which hath begun a good work in you. Oh, it's beautiful to see while the Lord works in a life of a person that gives their heart to the Lord. That you see the Lord taking it and changing and molding and working, and you can see the joy on their face and hear the rejoicing in the testimony. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. You know, the Lord who began that work is able to perform it all the way through to the end. The Lord is able to keep it. The Lord is able to keep it flourishing and looking beautiful. That requires growth, new growth. It's not just going to be the same flower on that plant for months and months. It's going to put on new growth and then new growth behind that. And the Lord wants in our lives that we're able to bring forth fruit in abundance unto him. The Lord has an experience for us that's better than just stuck out somewhere in a desert, just shriveled up, and maybe somebody looking by say, well, is it alive or is it not? The Lord wants to bring evidence in our life that there is spiritual life, that there is abundance in our souls. And it's going to require something for that. Well, I think about something that Solomon said as well. Solomon was very renowned in his day and since that time for the beauty of the kingdom that he had overseen and the gardens. It says, if you read in Ecclesiastes, I believe the second chapter, he was talking about all the things that he got for himself, the things that he had built. And some of that was he made gardens and orchards and all these things that were beautiful to look upon and for enjoyment. He planted all of this. And then it says, and he built pools of water to water it. He had to think ahead that it's not just the planting of this tree. It's going to require something to be able to continue flourishing. And so he built these pools of water and irrigation systems, no doubt, to be able to take and convey that water to the plants. That was not an unusual custom. In those days, I'd like to get a scripture that's familiar to us in the book of Psalms. Psalms, the first chapter. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. To the man that doesn't walk after the ways of the world, to the individual that's willing to put their trust and hope in the Lord alone, it says that he'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. You ever seen that? I want to try to show you something, and it's a ways, I don't know if you'll be able to see it very well. You see that picture? What I'm endeavoring to show you here is a satellite image of Egypt. What's the predominant color that you see? A tan, brown. You know what that is? It's sand. It's dirt. There's no lush vegetation there. If you've ever flown over, you'll see for just hours of flying time through the deserts of Africa, it's this brown or red tinged color. But I want us to notice something else that starts right here and winds its way down. Can you see what color that is? It's green. There is a lush, dark green ribbon that starts up here and winds its way through this desert land of Egypt. And that green, lush vegetation is what is planted on the sides of the Nile River. The Nile River was a lifeline for Egypt. Because water is the thing that makes the difference. When you look at the arid sands and dunes of a place like that, or other similar nations and regions, that's just so inhospitable to life. Not a thing growing as far as you can see. The difference between that and a lush area of dense vegetation, a rainforest, an area of abundance of gardens and flowers, the difference is largely the availability of water. Where there isn't water available, where it doesn't fall from the sky, or it's not near a body of water, it doesn't support life. And in this world will not support spiritual life. Not the ways of this world. You're not going to find it out there. Like the song we sang, my soul was searching for something that would satisfy. You don't find it by the pools of this world. It doesn't satisfy. You know what you need whenever you are thirsty? If you've ever been out on a hot day and you're sweating and working and you feel the thirst. I remember one time I had a job landscaping for a property, and large property. It was middle of summer, and I had a whole day of work ahead of me. Well, I had one of those large coolers of water, for water, that I carried with me. But I found a bargain on some soda one day. 2 liter of soda. And I thought, hey, that'd be good. I'd fill it up with ice and some Sprite out there in the middle of the day. Hot, some cold Sprite. And sure enough, I was working and sweating and hot and thirsty. And I go and I start chugging it down. And oh, it tasted good for a little bit. And then I got so sick I could hardly move. That's not what I needed. There's water in it, but the body's going to have to try to filter out the other stuff to get what it really needs. What's out in the world really doesn't satisfy the thirsting of the soul. But oh, if we can get planted by the rivers of the water of life, folks, we can flourish. Our souls can abound in joy and in righteousness and enjoy our salvation. Today, are you enjoying your salvation? Pardon me for putting it this way, but I hope you understand. If you were a flower, if your soul was a flower, what would your flower look like today? Would it have vibrant color to it? Would it have life? Would you be able to see it standing up straight? Or would it maybe be drooping a little bit? Wilted. Maybe it's turning kind of brown. Maybe diseased around the edges. Some spots on it. Not looking very good. Oh, folks, the Lord has an experience for us that we can flourish in the things of the Lord. But it's not going to just be by my own intention or because I'm different from somebody else. It's going to be that I tap into a source of life-giving water. Or I'll be no different than anyone else. I'm not just hardier, a hardier plant or tree than the other people out in the world. I too will shrivel up and die. And I still can if I fail to tap into the water source and get a hold of that. Well, it says here, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And this word in the Hebrew, rivers of water, has a definition that says the dividing of waters. And it was commonplace practice in those times to build, and no doubt it's very likely it's what Solomon did. There are other references in Scripture that seem to allude to this practice of diverting water, whether it's off of the Nile River or some body of water, to divert it through canals and waterways, to take it into a town or over to an orchard or to a garden somewhere that needs water. To be able to divert and take that water to the places that it is needed the most. The Lord knows how to water our souls. For He knows how important that it is to us. All right, I'd like to get a few scriptures now of the prophets. Isaiah, the 41st chapter. Isaiah 41. Beginning in the 17th verse, it says, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places. You know where the rivers usually are? In the low places. It's saying here, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. And I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. In the places that it is most unlikely to be able to find water, the Lord is saying that whenever the man or woman that is thirsty, the soul is crying out and needs something, cries out to the Lord, in the places that are least likely to be able to flourish. Folks, you know, there will often be excuses. Well, if it wasn't for this situation, if it wasn't for that person, I could flourish. Well, sure I could. But nobody can flourish in a place like this. Lord, get me out of this battle, and then I'll be able to grow spiritually. That's not the way it works. The Lord will open up if we'll seek Him, even in our hard places, in our difficulty, whenever it seems like things are so parched, there's nowhere I can go, or in other words, no encouragement that I can find. Maybe I turn to this person, I turn to that source, I make the mistake of turning on the radio for my encouragement. It just everywhere I go, there's nothing to encourage me. Excuse me. The Lord knows how, even in those places, to open up for us a fountain of water. I believe in the 84th chapter of Psalm, it talks about those who passing Through the valley of weeping, they make it a well. You know, the Lord can take our valleys of weeping, and He knows how to turn it into a well. But if we just get discouraged and say, you know what? Until I get out of this kind of place, I'm just going to hole up here. No. The Lord wants to open some things up to us. Have you ever gotten into a really difficult place? And then the Lord starts opening some things up to you. To get into some difficulty and hardship.
Thank you.
And then the Lord just open up something that you haven't seen or understood before. You know, the Lord knows how even in those hardships. And I'll say sometimes those are the places that I find the deepest water. If I'll seek for it. Open up rivers of water and I'll plant. So once the Lord has done that, He said, I'll plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. And I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. Once there is water available, then it can support life like this. And then it says that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Oh, we're here for a purpose, folks. We're here for a reason, not just for my own comfort or for everything to just go my way. But there is a world of hurting people who are out in the desert, who are out in the wilderness, who are parched, who are thirsty, who are finding, who are being told by society, you are a victim. You've been victimized. Well, you can't be a functioning part. You can't flirt because of this person or that class or this politician. But oh, thank God for a source of life. Thank God there's a place that we can get a hold of that then there can be something produced out of our lives that those people around us can be able to look on and see and say, you know what? They're going through some hard places too. They got the same boss that I have. They have sickness too, but look at them. How are they still praising the Lord? How is it that they're still rejoicing in their spirit? That they may see and realize, as Jesus said, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, because it is the only source and the only way that we'll be able to bring forth like that. Jeremiah now, in the 17th chapter. A similar thought that's brought out, it says in verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. You notice some similarities here? The wicked man and the one that won't put their trust in the Lord, they're in the wilderness. But we also read about the man that puts their trust in the Lord. They also go through wildernesses. So what's the difference? Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. The heat may and will still come, but you won't see it. It won't take its effect or toll on us. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Part of life is that there are seasons in life. There are places that we go through that are easier than others. There are seasons of life that are hard. There are seasons of life that are difficult. The world experiences it. See, the Satan tries to say, well, if you give up on the Lord and just go back to the world, it's so much easier. No, they have hardship. They have sorrow. They have difficulty. But no water to go with it. Nothing to sustain life through it. And yet in our places of heat or our seasons where things are hard, there is a place, an experience with the Lord that is individual. I can't get it for you, and you can't get it for me. My roots have to go down, and I have to tap into that water source. And that is the thing, and the only thing that will allow me to still be standing alive spiritually whenever I'm in those hard places. Because I've got a hold of something. All right, turn with me, if you would, to Psalms now, the 104th chapter. I want to think about some of the marvel of creation. God's plan of irrigation. Psalms 104, and beginning in the 6th verse, I believe. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Speaking throughout these scriptures of water. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They drink, give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's hearts. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, etc. All of this that we enjoy because of water, that the Lord made possible. It's how we have hamburger. Because the Lord sent the rain to give the cow something to eat. You look at how desperate they were in Israel at the time of Elijah and Ahab, and 3.5 years without any rain upon the earth. How desperate a situation that was. But all of this that we enjoy, because the Lord created this world, He created it to be able to flourish. You ever look at the ecosystem that God created and just marvel at it? That the Lord created a system knowing that everything needs water in this earth. And this earth holds 70% water, is it? This earth holds it. And yet the oceans can't be drunk without a desalination process. But He causes it through this ecosystem to evaporate into the atmosphere, for that to build and the winds to carry it until it gets to a heaviness, a weight that it condenses and falls as rain upon the earth, upon the mountains and the hills, and that gathers together and flows down into the valleys through little streams and rivers. And fills up reservoirs and lakes that give the beasts something to drink. It fills up the aquifers under the surface of the earth that we might be able to draw from it and have municipal water and drinking water and all of that. And it is a continual cycle that just keeps on refreshing itself. I've never been to Oregon, but I understand that the western side of Oregon is beautiful. Is that right? The Pacific Northwest, that it's green, that there's just an abundance of growth, the trees and all of that, the forests that grow. But I also understand on the eastern side of Oregon that it doesn't look that way. Well, what's the difference? Same state, not that far apart. On one side of the state, there is just lush vegetation. And on the other side of the state, there are some parts of the state considered desert. Well, of course, it has to do with water. But there is what's called a rain shadow effect. That the Cascade Range through Oregon creates a rain shadow on the eastern side of that mountain range that doesn't allow it to get nearly enough rain. And so it leaves it arid, dry. But on the windward side of the mountain, on the ocean side, all of the moisture coming in from that body of water is there, and it catches the slope of the mountain, and it just dumps the water in abundance on that side of the mountain. But it's not able to get up over it most of the time to be able to water the other side. You know, if we're not careful, we can have things built up in our lives that are like mountains. It might be attitudes, it might be some pride that's worked its way in and built itself up like a mountain. And the blessings of the Lord coming in, they're not able to get up over that. It just kind of hits that thing in my life. And it's not able to get over that thing and really bring the abundance of rain. Oh, the scripture said, I think in Hosea, it's time to seek the Lord until He rain righteousness upon us. Because we're desperate for that. But you know, part of that seeking the Lord is sometimes the Lord might say, Clint, there's a rain shadow effect here. There's something in your life that I want you to address. Maybe there's some attitudes here, some pride that I haven't addressed. Clint, I can't, the blessings are there. There is an abundance, but I can't get it over to you. You know, there's something we can do about it though. It's not inevitable. The Lord wants us to be able to flourish and bring forth abundantly. If I'm not, maybe it's a place for me to say, Lord, search me. Lord, are there some mountains in the way here? Some things that have built up over time that are preventing the blessing of the Lord from raining down upon me? And Jesus said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, then you can say to this mountain, be thou plucked up and cast into the sea. I believe it rather is talking more about these kind of mountains than the Cascade Mountain Range. Oh, the Lord could do that easily if He wanted. Could thump it off into the Pacific Ocean. But I believe He's more interested in those things that can become built up in our life that prevent and stop the blessings of the Lord from being able to rain down like He wants. Because the Lord has a purpose for us to irrigate us, to make us like the lush, verdant valleys. But I want to think of something else about the mountains. The mountains aren't always harmful to the purpose of irrigation. You know that in some areas, regions of the West, there are seasons that are pretty dry. Not a lot of rain moves in for months on end. Well, you can't hardly keep something alive for months and months and months without any kind of water. But during those hot months, there's still an irrigation system that the Lord has stored millions of gallons of water up high to water the valleys that aren't getting much rain. It's not only through the rain, but there is snowpack in those higher elevations that is critical for the lower elevations, for the valleys, to be able to be sustained through the hot summer months. Well, who else could plan something like that? How else could you pump up to the top of a mountain millions of gallons of water and be able to store it and keep the algae out of it and keep the water treated and all of that and then release it at the right times? Can you imagine how massive an operation that would be? But our God created it all. Our God caused this cycle of that we've read about here. for the rain to come down, the precipitation in the form of snow upon the mountains. And it's high enough and cool enough that it preserves it late enough in the season to be able to send water down into the valleys that need it. Folks, our God knows what He's doing. And the nature, our creation around us testify to the marvelous works of God. You know, I believe it speaks to me that if the Lord's able to do that, if the Lord cares about the cattle in the valley and making sure they have grass to eat, don't you think the Lord cares about us? Don't you think the Lord cares about us being able to prosper in our souls? The Lord's able to provide exactly what is needed. Isaiah, the 55th chapter, it talks about as the rain cometh down and watereth the earth, speaking of His word, that He would send it forth and that it would not return unto Him void. Oh, the Lord has showers of blessings for us. Folks, the Lord has an abundant experience and relationship with Him that He wants to be able to water our souls. I'd like to look now in the book of Ezekiel, the 47th chapter. Consider a little more the effects of irrigation. And I pray the Lord's helping us to get the spiritual connection. Ezekiel 47 is a vision that Ezekiel had, that he was brought to the door of a house where waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. It talks about how the water went out and came out from under the right side of the house, the south side of the altar. This is the vision, the place where he was led out into the waters, and there's a whole message in that, that he was brought out to where the water was up to his ankles. And he was called out to go a little deeper into the water. And the water was up higher on his legs. And he was called yet deeper out into the water. And it said that it was rivers to swim in. This is spiritual language, a spiritual vision of something that issues from under the throne for the purposes of nourishing, encouraging, and giving life unto the kingdom of God. It issues from under the throne and it is a river to swim in. Folks, it means to us that there is a spiritual abundance of grace, of peace, of love, of forgiveness, of mercy, of whatever it is that we need. There is an abundant supply for us. If I'll launch out into the deep, I'll find that it is rivers to swim in. There is no danger of this river running dry. The Mississippi, they're saying, has been getting lower than it's been for a long time because of drought. There is no danger of this river running dry. Oh, the devil will try to dam it up and he'll try to divert the water away from us. But there is an abundance of water if I'll avail myself of it. So let's pick up here in the 47th chapter with verse 6. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, and behold, at the brink of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. You see the effect of this river that's going down into the desert, into the dry regions, and it says the waters that were brackish or were salt waters or maybe were steel waters that had become, sediment, just kind of built stagnant, that the water that comes from this river, it heals that water, that it gives life to everywhere that it goes. Oh, I think of a song in our book. When I say, Lord, I want that river. Lord, I want the river of your blessings. Lord, help us to get a hold of the spiritual land. We have a lot of church talk we can use sometimes. But the rivers of the Lord's blessing. Folks, the Lord has what he sees we need that our heart cries for. And he has an abundance of it available for us. That if we will accept it. And I say, well, of course I want that. There's a part that I have to play. There's a song that says, just as the stream finds a bed that is lowly, so I will walk with the pure and the holy. Oh, as the water finds those streams, when we humble ourselves before the Lord, when we get prostrate before Him, Lord, I want this more than anything. I want your ways more than anything else. Lord, I want to please you with my life. Oh, you know, that's just opening a way for the river to come in and to flow into our life and into our heart. That river brings life. It brings abundance. It brings healing. We need healing from time to time. Life has a way of taking it out on us. Things happen. Hurts come. Offenses come. Wounds come. Just going through the battles of life. Sometimes we can feel bruised and battered and beat up. Lord, I need some healing. Lord, I don't want to go through life this way. I don't want to be a cripple spiritually. Oh, Lord, would you heal my wounded spirit? Lord, would you heal that's aching inside of me right now? Oh, go to the river. Go to the river and draw of that life-giving water. For there's healing in that water. I'd like to turn to Revelation and get a different view from another angle of that same river. Revelation in the 22nd chapter, the first verse, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Oh, there's some water that they say don't drink. Make sure you don't. When you go to India, they say don't even drink the tap water. Don't even drink the stuff that comes out of the fountains. It's not pure. There's bacteria in it. There's things in it that can kill you. Not so with this water. Folks, all the contaminants are gone. It's pure. It's crystal clear. It's edifying. So much in this world, what is there? Remember what God spoke to the children of Israel through Jeremiah? He said, you've committed two evils. You've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And instead, you've dug out for yourself cisterns. You know what a cistern is? It just collects the runoff water. Maybe from the running down the street or running across the dirt, and maybe it's carrying twigs and pieces of dead grass and dead bugs and what, and it's the runoff that collects into that cistern that's stagnant, maybe has a smell to it, maybe a little skim of green on the top of it. And it said, You've given up this, a fountain of living water, and replaced it with just stagnant, green, smelly water. Oh, folks, I hope we get a vision, a little picture in our spirit this morning of what God has for us, for the church of God, what God has for every child of God that will put their trust in Him. We can tap into, we can be planted beside this river. The same river, I believe, that Ezekiel saw. Where did it come out from? Ezekiel saw it coming out from the house. John had his vision opened up a little more. He said, oh, this issues from right from under the throne. This comes from God Himself. Oh, the Lord wants to bless our souls and our parched spirit and those dry places that we go through with blessings straight from the throne of God. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Oh, there's no month of the year that there's not the fruit available. There's no season that we go through that if we're planted by the rivers of water, You say, well, I'm just too young to really bear fruit for the Lord. No, there's fruit for your season. Well, I'm so busy right now. I'm so busy with a young family and a job and all of that. I can't really produce much fruit for the Lord. The Lord understand? No. The Lord has fruit in your season and my season. To say, well, I'm old. I can't do anything for the Lord anymore. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The Lord has fruit for you in this season that you're in. For every one of us in whatever season of life. There is fruit in that month. There's fruit in that season that the Lord wants to cause us to bring forth, the purpose of which it says is for the healing of the nations. Oh, that same comfort wherewith you yourselves are comforted, you can comfort other people with it. The Lord wants to heal us and cause us to bring forth abundantly so that we might also be able to minister to those that are hurting. Be able to apply something to them that would bring healing and comfort. All right, I'd like to... Well, I'm going to ask you to stick your finger on this page if you're there, because I want to come back to it. But one more scripture before we close out there. Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Jeremiah chapter 31. Start with the 10th verse. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattereth Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil, and the young of the flock and of the herd, and their souls shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. All these things that we read about, that the rain sent down from heaven that brings forth in abundance for the pleasure and the sustenance, the health and the joy and pleasure of mankind is available for us. And we can flow together. Oh, there's something so beautiful. One, about worshiping the Lord. And the only thing more beautiful than that, if I can put it that way, is to worship the Lord together in the beauty of holiness, flowing from heart to heart, spirits mingled together, rejoicing in the good things of the Lord together. You know, it's what the Lord has for us. But their soul may be as a watered garden. Oh, every one of us have a garden. The Song of Solomon, it talks about that garden, an allegory of Christ and His church, and that there's a garden planted, and that it said, I want my beloved to come and cause the north wind to blow through the garden, to cause my beloved to smell that scent. You know what our prayers are, the Bible teaches? Revelation is said with golden vials before the throne of incense, which is the prayers of the saints. Oh, the lives and the prayers of the saints can ascend up before the Lord as something that the Lord is pleased to... Oh, that's beautiful. That the Lord is able to produce that in our garden. But He would have that the nettles don't overgrow, the weeds don't choke out, and that it doesn't become parched and barren. The Lord wants our lives to be like a watered garden. And now back in closing to the 22nd chapter of Revelation. 17th verse, the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. It's not rationed. It's available. And how much do you need? The Lord has ample supply to satisfy every longing of your heart. Every ache in your spirit, the Lord is able to abundantly satisfy that place. So if we're thirsty, if we feel like we've been in a place that maybe is a little bit parched, been feeling a little bit dried up, and the fruit that's being brought out of my life is it's kind of stopped growing and it's the plant's looking a little wilted. It says, let him that is athirst, let him come. We can come to the Lord, the fountain of living waters. That woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, had Jesus so beautifully invite her to, I'll give you something. If you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. You're going to have to be back doing the same thing over and over. And how many times people in our world get into this place and mode of living just doing the same things over and over and over, many times hurting themselves over and over and seeking for that that satisfies, and it's in the Lord. If we're athirst, let us come that we may be as a watered garden. You pray for me. Amen.